six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome back to the Real Bourbon Bros podcast, the essential podcast for the novice yet curious whiskey enthusiast. Giddy up. All right, everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Real Bourbon Bros podcast. I am Steve, or I'm Steve.
Yes, you are. No. Are we exchanging?
It's like Freaky Friday or something. I am Gary. Steve is my brother.
Yes.
And we are joined tonight by today, whenever you're listening to this, by a very special guest, Karen Wells, National Brand Ambassador for Green River, joins us tonight. Thank you, Karen, for a few of your minutes, of your time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. And this is, 67?
Oh, episode. Yes, 67. Yes. I was like, I'm not 67. What are you talking about?
Got to mention that 67.
Yeah, 67th episode.
Almost 68, the best year of
life. Steve gets sidetracked. Karen, thank you again right off the bat for the samples you sent us from Green River, obviously.
Yes.
Those who are listening, if you haven't heard of Green River at this point, you're probably hiding under a rock. It's pretty widely distributed.
Yes.
And new... releases are coming out almost every quarter, it seems like. So we're looking forward to talking to you, hearing about all the products that Green River has to offer that's out there, things that maybe are coming up. But we always start with every guest that we have on with a little bit of your personal past, how you came to Green River, your story. It's usually kind of how we start and kind of go from there. So tell us how you got to Green River and the position you're at now. How did all that come to be?
How did all that come about?
Yeah.
How did you learn to become, learning to love whiskey and bourbon and all good things?
Well, truth be told, my love of spirits and particularly brown spirits came into play with my first professional career, which was public school teaching. That led me to drink.
Connection.
Yeah, you can see that. Yeah. I've enjoyed bourbon or whiskey for many, many years, but how I got into the industry is just different than most people. I was a public school teacher for many years down in Florida. And then decided to do a 180 from teaching, but I didn't want to lose my state retirement that I had already acquired, from teaching. So I found a career in firefighting, which was also state retirement.
Nice.
So I became a firefighter and paramedic, and then I rose up through the ranks. And when I retired from firefighting, I was a lieutenant firefighter and a paramedic. So, and that was with Orange County Fire Rescue, which is the county that surrounds Orlando.
Yep.
So, it was a great career. I love both of them. Teaching had just changed a little bit, and firefighting, my gosh, once you get a taste of it, for a lot of people, it's very scary and it can be, but it's also very rewarding and I loved every minute of it. But when I retired, I moved to Kentucky. I have family up here, and so I moved up to Kentucky, had no intentions of working full-time again, and I blame all of this journey that I'm on in bourbon on my aunt, who talked me into going to some bourbon meetings with her, and we were at the distillery one night drinking rye whiskey straight out of the barrel. And as everybody knows, rye is not something you immediately like. It's an acquired taste. Yeah. It takes a minute. It was really good. It was very, very good that night. And some people that I was sitting with worked at the distillery. And I casually mentioned to them that if they needed part-time tour guides, I was retired. I'd love to do it. And about a month later, my now colleague called me and she said, "Listen, I know you were drunk, but were you serious?" And I said, "Yes, I was. I was dead serious." So I started as a part-time tour guide, and that kind of rolled into full-time and then the lead tour guide. And before you know it, when we got ready to launch the brand, they asked me if I wanted to be the National Brand Ambassador. And I said, well, what do I need to do? And they said, well, you'll speak to people, you'll do education, you'll do tastings, you know, podcasts, whatever needs to be done to promote the brand. And you'll have to travel. And I said, and you're going to pay me to do this. And they said, yes. And so I said, okay. I said, let's give it a shot. So I am the first national brand ambassador for Green River.
Wow.
And it's a true honor. And it's been an absolute blast watching the brand grow.
That sounds awesome. Okay. So from teacher and so we have another teacher in the
yes,
house.
Yes, I say there's some correlation there with me. I was a former teacher as well in Florida.
Oh, really? Yeah?
Yeah, I did a 180 to the medical field, so yeah.
Yeah, not far off. I was a paramedic, so you know, we're right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly. Hand in hand. I know the struggle with I did middle school, so I know the struggle with the demographic sometime and the lack of support sometimes and the long hours and the parents that are always so helpful, but
underpaid. And,
oh yeah, we could spend a whole podcast on that.
We could do that. That's another show. That's episode 68, right?
Yeah, there you go. Mark it, everybody, in your calendars right now. No.
Yeah.
Education with bourbon.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you guys are great educators. You know, I mean, Gary was a great teacher. You know, he was my influence. I guess his older brother.
You are. Maybe you guess tell. You are.
I didn't quite get ready for a video podcast today, but hey.
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
chicks love it. so no, Gary was he started down the bourbon path, and you know I joined him. You know we had our first. Bouts of whiskey and trying different mixed drinks and all that. So yeah, it's education is by far, you know, the thing that I value in this bourbon community.
And I think, and I think the best education is sampling. You know, the way you determine what you like, you know, where your palate is just by sampling. Okay. And I started kind of more with the scotch and then kind of worked my way over to the bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
And then obviously the
kind
rye.
Of went backwards.
Well, I don't know. Wow. I didn't know what I was thinking, but it was a little smoother, I think, at the time. I was like, oh, okay, neat. All right. I don't know. But, you know, and then rye, like you said in your, you had that rye straight from the barrel. Something that I got into last. What was the, do you remember the rye out of that barrel that you were sampling by chance?
Yeah. It was 95.5 rye, 95% rye, 5% malted barley.
Very nice.
So basically it's what we have. It's one of our core products now, except that it was at barrel strength. And, and it was, I think at the time it was like maybe 2 years old, which is unheard of that a rye at that age and that proof that mash bill would be that flavorful and that smooth.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. I mean, the core four, I guess we call it, right?
That's what we call it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Steve and I both got samples and thanks Karen for sending us these samples of Green River Four Core, which includes straight, Kentucky straight rye, Kentucky straight bourbon. I'm just looking at them right here in front of me, and full proof, bourbon as well as the wheated, bourbon. So, of those four, do you have a particular one that, you know, stands out maybe to you or in terms of, customer sales right off the bat? Like what's the popular one there?
They're all doing well in their own category. You know, people always ask me, what do you drink? What's your go-to?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, and I'm very honest with people. I'm not gonna, you know, it all depends on the mood for me.
Mm-hmm.
Wheated bourbon was not something that I was naturally drawn to begin with. Mm. However, as my palate has grown, I really enjoy a good wheated bourbon. Mm. So yeah, I enjoy our wheated bourbon a lot. Our standard, we call our flagship, which is our high rye bourbon or the black label.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of my daily drinkers. I enjoy that one all the time. Yep. That's it right there.
Too.
It's 90 proof.
Yep.
It's really easy to drink. But if I'm going to come home after a long day and I just want one pour, you know, just to kind of chill and whatnot, it is going to be my foolproof. Yep.
Foolproof,
it is going to be our foolproof for sure. It is, it's really taken the market by storm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And man, it's just so solid and so consistent.
Beautiful.
And so reasonably priced too.
Right.
I think that's from a consumer standpoint, that's important to me, is that they're getting a quality product that's cheap. You know?
Well, yeah, that's affordable for everybody, that those who do. And Steve and I are huge high proof guys.
Yeah, cast strength guys.
Yeah. So this is, it's at one, the bottle I have is 117.9 proof. So that's right in that 110 to 120 range, I think is very doable, where it's not going to knock you off on your butt the whole night, but it's enough to really, you know, fill the palate, have a good finish. And the nose too. Like for me, maybe this is just me being, I don't know what you want to call it, novice and some things with whiskey, but I think anything with a higher proof, typically the nose comes through a little bit more. I'm not saying all the time, but a lot of the time that's true for me. Maybe it's just my senses too. And
got a lot of the alcohol evaporating into your nose.
I don't know what it is. It just drives it home.
No, that high proof was one of the, I think maybe the second bottle I bought. And so, Karen, you know, Gary's in Tampa and I'm over here in Michigan, near Novi here, and the high proof, I brought that home and I tried it, and I had to text the store owner right away saying, oh my god, this is great, have you tried this? And then he got a single barrel in too. And actually I got a single barrel from a place down in Tampa too.
Yeah, I see a couple of them sitting behind you.
Whiskey
there.
Willies, yeah. So I got one from
Whiskey Willies. That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, we know
and
Wally real well.
Yeah, we do. And then the other one's from Kelvin, Novi Party Store here, his single barrel. So, oh my God. They were great. I had to go in specifically and had him, you know, make sure he sets one aside for me until I get in there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a great product, man.
They the single barrels have been going over extremely well. Of course, we were pretty limited the first year that we did them, and now we're growing. Of course, you know, from a standpoint of how much do you do each year, how many do you release? Mm-hmm. It all goes with how much do we have. We didn't lay down as many barrels to begin with when we first started distilling, so therefore you have to set some aside for future. You know, as well as what you currently have out on the market. And then, you know, we want to be really particular on our single barrels as well. We're not just going to let any barrel go into the single barrel program. So it's kind of a rigid thing for us, and it's a pride thing. You know, our one of our slogans is we're the pride of Owensboro. Mm-hmm. And we don't want anything going out there that isn't going to make not only our distillery and our brand proud, but our community proud as well. So,
very nice. Yeah, just to piggyback on the topic of the single barrels, not to beat it to death, but the one Whiskey Willie had in Tampa, that single barrel, I put that up at Whiskey Tastings against big brand name whiskeys, blind taste test, and that is always in the top third. It's always like, what is this? What is this?
Yeah.
Where do
like,
I get this? It?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, I'll sold out now and have to wait till next time. But
yeah.
Typically, what are the year statements for the single barrels?
So it's got to at least be 5 years old. And then at that point, it really goes by the way that we do it is we have Wes James, who's our single barrel coordinator there at the mm-hmm. distillery. Mm-hmm. Aaron Harris is our head distiller. Mm-hmm. And then myself. And some combination of the three of us will taste any sample of a barrel that's possibly going to go into the program. Mm. We all have three distinct palates. And really, you know, enjoy different flavors and aromas and whatnot. So if two of us don't like the barrel, then the barrel's not going in the program. It's going to wait. We'll come back to it in a few months and see how it's doing. And I think that has given us, I won't say a foot up, but I mean, I do say that people, when they come to pick a barrel with us, or they're sent samples to pick, mm-hmm. they have a hard time. They can rule out one. Maybe they can rule out two right off the bat, but then the you know, the third and fourth one, it's a struggle for them, and they really have to decide. So I think that's a testament to how we hold ourselves accountable for those barrels and what's going into the program, and then the barrels themselves, you know, they're really pulling out some wonderful flavors.
I agree.
Actually, you just made an announcement recently.
Dan Calloway, yep.
I just saw something on Facebook on that being the one of the master distilleries?
So he is his title got changed.
Okay.
He is now our master blender.
Dan
does the collaborations and anything that we do on our Bardstown side of our family, mm-hmm. And as well as when we're getting our products ready for our 90 proof batches, mm-hmm. and whatnot. We want to maintain that profile. You know, sometimes you can get nuances in them, and we want to keep it as steady as we can. And Dan's palate is phenomenal. He's a sommelier, and he has just studied this stuff for forever. Mm. So I think it's a great testament to him and his ability to keep our products right where they need to be.
Nice. Awesome. Congratulations, Dan.
It's a team effort.
Yeah, it is a team effort. There's a lot of hands that touch this product before it actually comes out on the market. So I from our barrel rollers to our bottlers to everybody plays a role in it. And any job that is done at the distillery is just as important as the next man over, or woman.
Yeah, exactly. And just to piggyback on that, of everybody working together and coming up with great products, making sure everything is tip top before anybody selects these single barrels, a bottle that I've heard a lot about, and I'm trying to figure out how to get my hands on it. Maybe you know somebody. the single barrel weeded. I've been reading so many things about that. Yes. I'm like, how do I?
I was going to bring that up too, but
yes.
Like, how do I find this?
Yeah. Yeah. So the weeded single barrel. So again, I'll go back to when we first started distilling. The main mash bill that we laid down was 70 corn, 21 rye, 9 malt, which is what we call our flagship.
Yep.
And then we started laying down weeded, and then we started laying down rye.
Yep.
So, and you guys probably know this as well as most people, you know, it takes a little longer for weeded to age.
Yep.
So, you know, you have to wait a little bit longer on it. So this year, we decided we were releasing 100 weeded single barrels. That's it. And that's for the entire nation. So we're in 45 different states now.
Yeah.
So every state got allotted X number of barrels, you know, every market did. And so my, you know, everybody's, I get this asked a lot now, when, can I get one? I always tell them, you know, watch your stores, you know, and watch, you know, a lot of times the states are doing where the distributor gets the pick, so then every store can get one or two or three bottles or a case or whatever. And then some of your larger stores are going to get a full barrel themselves. And I'm sure that they're going to announce it, that it's coming out. I know personally here in Owensboro, this past Saturday, one of our local stores released their weeded single barrel. Aaron and myself, we were both there for it, and it sold out in less than an hour.
Oh, wow.
So
it's going to be one of those hot item whiskeys.
It is. They're really good. I'm not going to lie. I hope you can get your hands on them. I know we released a couple of them at the distillery earlier this year, and they were gone in a day.
Right.
So it was, you know, it's a hot item now. Everybody says, okay, when's the next one? Are you going to do more? Sure, we'll do more. We will definitely do more. But again, we need to wait until we get, you know, we want to make sure that, like I said before, anything that we put out there that has the Green River name on it, it has to meet a certain standard.
Right.
So we want to make sure it's good for the consumer.
I'll be calling Wally as soon as I get off this.
There you go. Exactly. Call in all your favors.
Yeah, well, awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, at least getting some tasting of it.
Yeah,
a sample. That's it.
It's a sample. Just a
little 100 milliliter.
Yeah, that's all we need.
I'll send it to you guys. You can fill it up. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know a guy that knows a guy.
Yeah, that's how it usually goes.
Yeah.
Right?
So, so getting into Green River itself, we like to do a little bit of kind of a history lesson. Green River isn't named after the band, right?
Yeah, no. Although CCR did write some songs, and so did,
CCR,
so did John Prine. John Prine wrote a song about it. Yeah. So, we
had that on our show previously when we were talking about Green River, probably last year, Gary, right?
Yeah.
I have to look up that episode.
CCR cameo, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Can you share with us a little bit about what you know and tidbits about the history?
Sure. So it goes all the way back to 1885, and that's when J.W. McCulloch founded it. I think what's important for consumers to understand is we're one of the rare distilleries, especially in Kentucky, that we're on our original property. And that's huge because, you know, a lot of times the distilleries burn, they go dormant, they get relocated, you know, whatever the case may be, but we are actually on the original property. And Green River for 33 years was very well known for three major things. And that was, it was the most widely advertised whiskey in the world. It was the most expensive whiskey ever sold. And then the third, and for me, is always the most important, and it was the official whiskey of the United States Marine Hospital and Public Health Services.
Nice.
And so that, all three of those things happened from 1885 to 1918. And, you know, when you think about the time period back then, to be the most widely advertised whiskey in the world, it won awards in Paris and it won awards in Italy. So how long did it take them to get the product over there? They didn't ship bottles and then bottle it. It was barrels. Wooden crates with glass bottles.
Okay.
You know, so I think that's important to understand. I always tell people we are distributed in Australia.
Wow.
And we sent product to them back in October of 2023, and they got it in January of 2024. So in this day and age, that's how long it took. Now back it all the way up to the late 1800s, early 1900s. Yeah. The second thing being the most expensive whiskey, again, kind of goes with a wide advertisement as well. So in Colorado, shares of a Colorado gold mine called the Forest Queen were traded for 20 barrels of Green River whiskey. Well, that mine ended up panning out, and that made Green River the most expensive whiskey ever sold. You like that? You like that little pun in there too?
Yeah.
And so if you go out to Colorado, the Stanley Hotel, which is well known, right? And the Broadmoor Hotel, two different locations out there, they both had old bottles of Green River found in the walls. So again, all over the place, you know? But the Marine Hospital is always the one that really, really sticks to me. So, you know, pre-prohibition whiskey was medicinal.
Right.
And in 1897, the federal government decided to do a spirits contest to award a distillery to be the official whiskey of the United States Marine Hospital and Public Health Systems. So if you went to the doctor back then, that's where you went. And, you know, you'd get a script for whiskey, and then you go take it to the pharmacy and get it filled. Well, Green River won the contract in 1897, and then they had to apply for that contract every year after that. So for the next 18 years, Green River was the official whiskey of the United States Marine Hospital. And on the old bottles, it'll say official whiskey U.S. Marine Hospital 12 years, 13 years, 15 years, 18 years. So that, you know, it's real, you can touch it history. And I think in this day and age, that's super important for consumers.
Yeah.
And it means the world to us.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Especially, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And just looking at the bottle too, we always have this, you know, the horseshoe on the bottom.
You got to turn it right side up now.
Yes. I'm sorry. Before my luck runs out. Yes. So, do you have any information about how the bottle has changed?
It's top secret. I can't tell.
Oh, shoot. So the
original bottle. The original bottle was just your basic bottle back then. There were no fanciness to it.
Yeah.
But the label had a horseshoe on it, and that's why we put the horseshoe made the bottle in the shape of a horseshoe. We call this history in a bottle because we needed to honor the history of the brand. So the horseshoe was done on purpose to honor that original logo. If you feel all the bottles up here, you can even see it. It's kind of bumpy.
Yeah.
That's to emulate the rivets that were encompassed that horseshoe that was on the original logo.
Wow.
Then we put on the top of them, we put the faux tack stamp, and that's a picture of the Green River, right? So that's to keep that.
All the details.
We embossed Owensboro, established 1885.
Yep.
And on the back, we also put DSPKY10.
Yep.
And we boldly put that on the front of all of our labels too, DSPKY10. So that's really important. Because when you're a distiller anywhere in the United States, you get a DSP number. It stands for Distilled Spirits Plant. Mm-hmm. So, Gary, you're in Florida. So if like, say, St. Augustine is DSP-FL and then whatever number Florida hands out.
Sure.
Right? Steve, in Michigan, it would be DSP-MI and then whatever number Michigan hands out. Mm-hmm. Well, in Kentucky, we're DSP-KY, but in Kentucky, our numbers were handed out in order. And they stay with the distillery or they stay with the original owner. And ours stayed with our property. So we're DSPKY10.
Wow.
We are the 10th oldest licensed distillery in the state of Kentucky.
Nice.
And that's important for purposes in brands that, okay, you haven't heard of Green River. Who's ahead of you? Who's behind you?
Yeah.
Well, Maker's Mark is 44.
Wow.
Buffalo Trace is 113. Jim Beam's 230. So that gives you an idea of just how old this brand is.
Yeah.
And that's why it was important, you know, for us to get this distillery back up and running, because back in the day, Owensboro was bigger than Frankfort. We were bigger than Louisville. We were bigger than Lexington, and Bardstown. Mm. We had about 50 active distilleries in Owensboro. And then they all just kind of faded away when Prohibition hit. Yeah. Nobody knew how long it was going to last. And, you know, they're gone.
Yeah. Wow. No, I was a former history teacher too, by the way. So that was all very, very stimulating for me, because it's like two things I love, you know, whiskey.
I was going to ask about that DSP KY too, because it's pretty prominent on most of your bottles.
Yes. Very proud of that. Yeah.
We are very proud of it. Yeah. You know, from the Kentucky Distillers Association, you know, when we brought Green River back home, you know, they used a very poignant word for me, and that's hallowed ground. Hmm. We are on hallowed ground. Hmm. That property has only been a distillery. Originally, it was Green River. After Green River burned in 1918, and the brand never really came back after Prohibition, but the grounds stayed a distillery, and the Medley family owned it.
Hmm.
And the Medleys are local to Owensboro, and they ran operations, distilling operations there for almost 60 years. And so that was huge. And they made some great products when they had it, and they shut it down, and then it was revived in 2014, and again back to being a distillery. Nice. So it's kind of fun.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, you know, and obviously with the great whiskey, you always want a great place to kind of have folks come to taste it if they can't maybe find it in their state or wherever, or abroad. Tell us a little bit about the. I guess you would call it the distillery where people come visit and Owensboro.
Yeah. I don't think we've been there, have we, Gary?
So, I don't think we have.
No.
We've been up there. We're trying to go later this year, Steve. We have to put it on the list.
We'll have to put it on the list. You know, we're trying to hit all the ones that, you know, that we've talked to, all the people we've had on. Yeah. We're trying to hit everyone up. So if you have a place there, we'd love to hear about it.
We do. We sit on 26 acres, a little anomaly that we're... Back in the day, you know, the Ohio River is literally right behind the distillery. Mm-hmm. So we sit on the Ohio River. But, you know, back in the day, people worked and lived right around where they worked. So we are in a neighborhood. So you drive through neighborhoods. You're like, really? I'm going to a distillery and it's right here. But that's where we are. We're kind of landlocked now, but we're on 26 acres. We have a visitor center. We have a... which is really cool. It's the old bottling house that the Medleys used to use. So that's really cool. It's a neat place just to walk in. You feel the old vibes on it. We do tours Wednesday through Saturday. Nice. It's been considered one of the best tours on the Bourbon Trail.
Nice.
We're small but mighty, I guess you can say. And you know, you go into the still house and you're going to be like less than 10 feet from our still. And it's a 54-inch in diameter, four-story column still. That it's a beast. Everybody always asks me, what's the name of your still? And I named it myself. I just call it a big-ass still because that's what it is.
Yeah.
So, and you go through fermentation. We have 27 fermentation tanks. And then you get to go out into one of the rick houses and just take it all in. And we're very unique. The rick house that you get to go in as a visitor... is a clay tile rick house, and they are not common in the industry at all. It was an expensive way to build rick houses, but we have five of them and we use them all the time. So we have five clay tile. We have 27 altogether, but the one that we take all our visitors in is a clay tile one, which is just really cool. Yeah. You feel the history, and then you know you're taking in all that angel share, and it's great. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I bet all the dads and even the moms, for that matter, in that neighborhood really enjoy that smell, you know.
I can't speak for everybody else, but
I'm sure they do. Coming home, they look forward to coming home, you know.
And especially in the fall when it's really you know, you're getting some good aromas there.
So you have, do you just have tastings at the visitor center as well, or?
So you can do a full tour and tasting if you, and you do have to climb stairs and there's loud noises. Obviously we're an operational distillery. So if that climbing stairs and loud noises isn't your thing, then we just do, we call them sit and sips. You can just sit and get the history and taste through the products. We have a bar. You can just come in and have cocktails if you don't want to do anything. You know, anything other than that. So yeah, there's a variety of things. We have a barrel thieving tour. If you're into, you want to do the tour, but you don't want to just taste the core four, you want something different, then you can do the barrel thieving tour, and that's really cool too. So you get to go up on the second floor of the warehouse and thieve straight from the barrels. And that's always fun.
Steve, we got to make it happen.
Yeah, that's. I think we got to pick out our dates. We have such a busy summer already, but we'll find a way.
You'll figure it out. You'll take one for the team and figure it out.
Gary, you know you're down there. You can enjoy the Florida and 90, so forth. Like you're on vacation.
94 here in Houston. What do you mean enjoy it?
Well, that's wild. Better Michigan where it's rainy and cold here.
Perfect in Kentucky, I bet.
No, Kentucky, we've been getting hammered with storms. So,
I
was actually a little nervous about tonight because about 30 minutes before we started this, we were getting a pretty nasty storm. Yeah. I'm like, please don't let tornadoes break out. This could have gotten ugly, but it didn't.
Was the Green River hit by any of the higher waters that like Buffalo Trace and others got hit by?
We were fortunate. We were spared. Now the city itself, we had flooding in the city, but we had enough of a berm and there's a leeway in between the end of the distillery property and the river itself. So we were fortunate with that. But it's been a fun year. I mean, we've had unnatural storms that have come through Kentucky. Strong. We've had a lot of hail storms. We've had a lot of tornadoes. So just a different year this year.
Yeah,
so
it was. Surely.
This too shall pass. It's no different than Florida and hurricanes.
Oh boy. Yeah. That just, that's another, 2 weeks that starts. So everybody's
ready. Get ready. Fun times.
Oh boy.
So speaking of spirits and so forth, what is your favorite go-to spirit, Karen? I mean, out of everything, like we're talking, you know, scotch, bourbon, whiskey,
gin.
I wouldn't say vodka and gin because
I'm not a big gin girl.
No, I was joking.
Maybe rum. I mean, what's new and up and coming? What are you trying nowadays? Or what's your go-to right now?
I think for me, I honestly really enjoy bourbon. That's my thing. I was recently out in Colorado and tried some single malt, and that was very good. Some older finished single malt. That was I was surprised that I enjoyed it as much as I did, because single malt to me is one of those things that if made right, it's really good. If not, it can be a little edgy. But no, I'm a bourbon girl. I really just enjoy having bourbon, and I enjoy it neat. But I enjoy a good cocktail that's well balanced also. Mm-hmm. In the summertime, I tend to go towards the fruitier cocktails, even using bourbon. I love a good espresso martini made with bourbon instead of vodka. That's my latest thing that I really enjoy. And then in the wintertime, I like the rye, you know, a little bit more of a punch, a little bit different flavor. The spices are a little different. So I really enjoy that in the wintertime. But now I pretty much just stick to the brown spirits. That's me.
We can relate.
And not to, you know, make you not name your favorite bourbon, or like, is there any brand or anything, I mean, outside of Green River that, you know, you're...
Oh yeah. People ask me that all the time. If you're not drinking Green River, what are you drinking? Yeah. You know, so it's like, that's a fair question. I mean, there's a lot, there's so many good bourbons out there, you know, and,
there is.
And I'm like anybody else. Of course I'm partial to my brand because it's my brand, you know, yeah. And I enjoy it. But if I can't get Green River, I love our Bardstown High Wheat. I think that's phenomenal that just came out. I love our rye, our finished rye that's with Bardstown. But I also like a good Elijah Craig. Mm-hmm. I like a good Knob Creek. I like Maker's 46 and some of the finishes on those. Those are good. They're really, there's a lot of good stuff out there. So there's no bad bourbon. There's just bourbon that sits better on your palate than somebody else's. And that's how I look at it.
You never throw it away.
Yeah.
you got to drink before you throw it away.
I always tell people when we're trying bourbon and stuff, and I'm doing classes where I'm doing sensory trainings and things like that. I always tell them, I don't care what bourbon it is. You taste it neat first, and then you enjoy it on ice or with a drop of water. Because if you don't take at least two sips of it neat, you're not doing yourself or that bourbon any good. You have to let it speak for itself, instead of, you know, cutting it right off the bat. And there's nothing wrong with cutting it. It's just give it a chance first. Right. You know,
yeah,
give it a chance.
Tell it to my wife all the time.
Really good advice. Just try it neat.
I have a quick hitter for you. Then obviously we want to talk a little bit about the future of Green River. I know we have a big announcement coming up here. What was your first legal whiskey drink, if you remember?
Ooh. Legal?
See. Legal.
Let me see.
If you can remember, or the first one that sticks out to you.
It was my first legal, and it probably ruined me at the same time. But on my birthday, my boyfriend at the time got me Bacardi 151.
Ooh.
And that was
it. It was all over.
That was it.
Well, that was it. You can't get any closer to legal than that.
No, and it was ugly.
That evening was cut short
on your birthday.
But I do like, I still like rum, but just we got to bring it down a little bit. It was a rough, you know. I thought I was ready. I wasn't ready.
Sorry for Gary to bring that up.
You gotta have that's okay. Turpentine before you're ready for that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Paint thinner or something. All right. Well, thank you for humoring us with those quick hitters. We do have some important news, though. Green River, I think, just announced, right?
Yeah. We'll talk about it. Let me. Okay. Can I bring up one thing first before we?
Yeah.
I don't know how many people know with our lineup of Green River that our weeded bourbon and our high rye bourbon are mirror images of each other, except that the flavoring grain has changed. So by that, I mean the weeded bourbon is 70% corn, 21% soft red winter wheat, 9% malted barley at 90 proof, 5 years old.
Yep.
That's a 5-year old profile. The black label, our flagship, is 70% corn, 21% rye, 9% malted barley, 90 proof, 5-year old flavor profile. So when I always tell people, when you have somebody new, and they're trying to decide, do I like a weeded bourbon or do I like a rye bourbon?
There you go.
Grab both of them.
Yep.
Pour them. Let them sit out for about 10 minutes. Let them get some air. Let them breathe. And then try it. And you can literally see the difference between a weeded bourbon and a high rye bourbon.
Straightforward. Yeah.
There's no, I mean, literally mirror images. Just that flavoring grain has been changed. And I think that's huge to put out there for consumers that are trying to figure out what they like. So often I hear people tell their friend, well, if you're trying to like bourbon, start with a weeded bourbon. It's going to be smoother on your palate. And that's not true. Everybody's palate is different. And it very well could be smoother for some people, but it very well could be hotter for others. So I always tell people for $70, you can buy two bottles.
Yep.
You literally have the difference between a weeded bourbon and a high rye bourbon.
Yeah, controlled experiment right there, guys.
It is. It is a very controlled experiment. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent point. Yeah, I think that is a mistake or a misconception a lot of people have about the weeded versus the rye. It's just taking both a chance. You know, apples to apples, right?
Yeah.
It's an apple.
Yeah, that and I will say on our rye whiskey. It's a 95% rye, 5% malted barley. Mm-hmm. And rye, you know, as we were talking earlier, is an acquired taste. Mm-hmm. But I describe our rye as a bourbon lover's rye. Mm. And the reason that I do that is because we use the same yeast strain when we made that rye as when we make our bourbon.
Okay.
So therefore, you're carrying a lot of similarities over. When you nose it, it doesn't even nose like it's a 95.5 rye. Mm. You know, 95.5 rye should kind of burn your senses and be very peppery, very as I like to say to people, it's all up in your business and you don't want that, you know, it really is.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah. And you're going to see that it's much fruitier, but then when you taste it, it's earthy and dry, like it should be for a rye, but it doesn't have all the pepper. It has more of the baking spice kind of flavors to it. So
excellent.
I think the products are phenomenal in that respect.
Yeah. I think our audience would love that piece of advice, especially with the price points where they're at. They can do that experiment. Oh, yeah. They're not going to feel like they're, you know, breaking the bank, and they get to taste a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And in the end, they can figure out, well, okay, I'm a high rye, or I'm a weeded
bourbon.
That's
exactly it.
Yeah, perfect.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Very good. Steve, do you know what's coming up here on June 14th, what anniversary it is?
Oh, Flag Day, besides that?
Flag Day.
Well, Flag Day, June 14th, besides it's my birthday.
And?
Most importantly, Green River is...
Well,
given us.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Special.
Well, it's a 250th anniversary.
Commemorative. 250th anniversary of
U.S.
The
Army.
United States Army.
Yes.
Yeah. The United States Army. So we are very honored to be the official whiskey of the United States Army and their 250th celebration. So this is going to be coming out on June 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of symbolism went into making this product. You know, coming out on its birthday, it's the 250th birthday. Mm-hmm. The proof on it is 111.1. So if you put that together, it's 11/11, November 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So we did all of that, and it's a different mash bill. It's 4 to 7 years old, and it's this one's going to be 77% corn, 14% rye, and 9% malted barley.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit different mash bill, a little higher corn. Bringing the rye down just a smidge on that. And it's really going to be a stellar product. And then it's always important for us, you know, our CEO and our vice president of strategic initiatives, they are both retired colonels from the military. So it's very important for us as the Lofted Spirits brand that we always give back and we do something for our military families. And so a portion of this is going to be donated back to supporting soldiers and their families for the resources that they need to carry on with their life and anything that they may endeavor after serving our country. So it's super important.
Yeah,
for us.
That's a huge announcement, and we're definitely looking forward to it. Our dad was a U.S. Army veteran as well. So
and my daughter is currently in the Army. So
deep in our
very
family
good.
As well. So the release is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it'll be available. You'll see it on military bases, and you'll see it in all of the different, you know, entities around, all the stores around. Mm-hmm. They all have access to it. So we're super excited about it. And label was designed in conjunction with the Army and a lot of nuances on it. So I think it's going to be it's important for us to give back and to support our military.
Yes. Absolutely.
USA, USA. Awesome. We definitely agree with that 110%. So hopefully it'll be out for everybody. I know it comes out June 14th at select bases, and then hopefully the rest of the summer everybody can get out there and find it and support the U.S. military, U.S. Army. We're 110% behind that. But great product to look forward to, and everybody else, you know. Until then, all the Green River products are out there right now. So get to the stores, very affordable prices for the Core 4, the rye, the straight bourbon, the full proof bourbon, and the weeded bourbon are all out there.
Can look for those single barrels too.
Single barrels too. Yeah, you can go on to greenriverwhiskey.com. Mm-hmm. And you can go into our products, and when you scroll down to the bottom, there's a map of the United States. Type in your zip code, and it'll pop up every store, restaurant, bar in your area. You can put the radius, 10 miles, 50 miles, 100 mm-hmm. miles, whatever, and it'll show you everywhere where you can get it.
It's easy to use website. I was there looking earlier today for the weeded single barrel. well, I think that's all I have for you tonight. Karen, unless you have, Steve, you have something else for Karen?
No, I do not. Yeah. Thank you so much, Karen, for jumping on. Thank you for the samples. Green River has just been a great whiskey of my choice, you know, in the last year or so since I've been introduced to it. Hopefully better things coming out.
That's the plan.
That's the plan.
Future's bright. The future's bright.
Okay, thanks, Karen, again.
We will definitely come visit you when we're down there in Kentucky.
Hopefully later this
By
year.
By all means, come see us.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, again, for listening. Until next time.
Cheers.
Enjoy.